It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
There, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is October 2017. It is, some would say it's the most gruesome time of the year, or the most wonderful time of the year, depending on how your bread is buttered. We have a guest. We try to bring him in non-October months, just because we can. There are certain things that are not just seasonal. And we have a guest who is, of course, allowed and invited anytime, 24/7, 365, 366 on leap years, whether we like it or not. But he's going to be on the show twice in October. He has his own introduction.
Horrible day to you, Matthew, and all of your horrible fans out there.
And all our horrible pledges. That's right. Sammy Terry's here, ladies and gentlemen. It's that time.
That's right. And if you haven't made your pledge to WFYI Radio, make sure you do it now or we'll find you.
Because if the scaring Sammy Terry doesn't get you, the irritating Matthew Sosi will. So, you know, you're doomed either way. All right. And also, we have a first, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get into this. Sammy Terry has a couple of films he wants to discuss because he knew about a couple of films I was going to be talking about on this week's show. So he actually floated into a multiplex and floated into a red box. I don't want to know what the red box looks like. But yeah, there's a couple of films that we can actually discuss. So, but first, Sammy, before we get into the movies, what are some of the things you have lined up for the month of October in Indiana?
Well, of course, October is very special, for it is my birthday month. October 31st being my birthday. They first designed Halloween around my birthday, and the entire month is full of ghouls and goblins appearing at your door and in the cracks of your staircase. So all of the things that happen during October have a haunted theme, and that's where Sammy Terry comes in. In fact, this weekend, on Friday, the 13th of October, I will be in Bloomington, Indiana, at the Starlight Drive-In. We'll be celebrating Friday the 13th with three wonderful movies. Of course, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Halloween, all the originals, which makes it all the more tragic.
Sir, not to contradict you, but I think all of the remakes are slightly more tragic for different reasons.
They most certainly are, but these are those originals, so you get those original thrills that you had.
So anyway, that is happening. There's more coming up, of course, online and in person, so we'll get to that in a little bit. But we are, ladies and gentlemen, we are slowly getting out of that doldrum between summer blockbuster season and grown-up movie season, grown-up film season. And there is a film opening this week, much anticipated by a lot of people. I have to admit, when I first heard that they were making this, I was slightly skeptical. And as time went on, started to dive in more and more, and it's finally here. It's one of those, it's kind of like Freddy versus Jason or Alien versus Predator. People have been talking about this for a long time. Didn't think it would actually happen. Now it's happened. Blade Runner 2049. And this is Ridley Scott is producing the film. It is directed by Denis Villeneuve. I hope I'm saying that right. But this is the gentleman that gave us Arrival, Prisoners, Sicario. So expect a great looking film from Roger Deakins. Ryan Gosling in his full solid drive acting mode. Of kind of a blank slate, plays the current Blade Runner who's solving a case which may or may not involve his past. And then we have to find the original Blade Runner. Yes, somebody cut Harrison Ford a check big enough that he actually wanted to do this. So you have Ford, you have Gosling. You also have Jared Leto with, not as irritating as he was in Suicide Squad. You also have Robin Wright, Dave Bautista. Dave Bautista's got a nice career going as a film actor. Hopefully it keeps him out of the ring so he can, still have a body that doesn't cripple him by the time he's in his 70s. But anyway, it is a couple things you should know about the film. The question is, do you need to watch the original Blade Runner to enjoy this one? It probably would help. But I have to admit, I didn't, because I was a fan of the original Blade Runner. I saw it in the theaters with my dad when I was 12, saw the director's cut when I was in college. Yes, director's cut is better. Ambiguous ending, lack of voiceover going into this. I will say, I think for the mall crowd, because it's Ryan Gosling, because it's Harrison Ford, and it's a title they sort of know, it is not a slam-bang sci-fi action-adventure film. It is a cop film, just happens to be set in 2049, and it's also from the director of Arrival. The film that reminded us, it's not Amy Adams versus Aliens. So it is a mood piece. There are some action moments. Probably not enough for some.
Not enough for me.
Not enough for you? You wanted more slam banging?
I most certainly did. I felt a little long on the storytelling and a little short on the blood.
And less Joanna Cassidy for you fans of the original Blade Runner. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Or Daryl Hannah, for that matter. But I think it captures the Blade Runner world really well. Vangelis is not doing the score, but it's Hans Zimmer and another film composer. And while the original Blade Runner is set in rainy Los Angeles, I mean, really like a film noir, so much so that obviously Harrison Ford did not want to do the voiceover. This version is expanded. It looks great. Whether you like the film or not, you can't argue. It is visually stunning. And I know for a lot of people, that's a euphemism for boring as hell. But this is done by cinematographer Roger Deakins, who should probably get another nomination for this. And he's kind of the Susan Lucci. He's been nominated over a dozen times and hasn't received it yet.
The cinematography was wonderful on this film. The angles, a lot of great maturity in this film.
Yeah, it is a grown-up sci-fi detective story. It really is. So I would say if you're a fan of Blade Runner, go right in. It actually does it does what it's supposed to do. But I think if you're in for a date night, probably not.
A little long, unless you want her falling asleep on your shoulder.
If you're into that. I'm not asking about his night out. That's just none of my business. But don't let anybody. It's about 2:30. I know people are saying 2:40. The credits are long. So if you stay for the credits, good for you. You probably should. Those people have worked their butts off for you.
Well, that's true, but there is no feature after the credits, which I always enjoy.
But it's not a Marvel film. It's not even a DC film. So, no, there is none of that. Sorry. So, okay. Also in theaters this weekend, I'm double-checking here. Just a reminder, of course, you still have Victoria and Abdul. No, not my radio buddy. Battle of the Sexes with the film about Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs, played by Emma Stone and Steve Carell. Year by the Sea, which we talked about on the show last week. So there's plenty of stuff out there. Also, I'm trying to remember if I have this right. Look, hot typing action during the film show. Also opening in theater. Oh, yes, because I always get the title confused. You also have The Mountain Between Us. This is the film where Kate Winslet and Idris Elba, their plane crashes and they're stuck on a mountain. So hopefully they keep each other warm. I'll just leave it there. Maybe I found the other date film for Sammy Terry there.
That's right.
And also, yeah, it's out there. My Little Pony, the movie.
The amount of My Little Pony fans is unbelievable. The conventions of grown men going to the My Little Pony conventions, a little unnerving, even for me. But the My Little Pony fan base is massive at the PopCon conventions.
I was about to say, you've done a number of these conventions. Have you seen full-size bronies out there?
Absolutely. The brony population is huge. And some of them you would never guess were My Little Pony fans.
There's so many possibilities. I'm just going to leave it at that. So, Sammy, I also was curious. There's been a couple of films of note that have come out. Did you watch It?
I did watch It. A fascinating show. The first part of it, and I believe that a couple weeks ago, they released the date for the second installation of the new It.
So as a clarification, this is the TV miniseries of It incorporated the past and the present. The film version is the past part. Now, it's not set in the 50s. It's set in the 80s. But I think for the second film of it's going to be with them as grown-ups.
That's correct. Just in the same way as the original one. I did enjoy It quite a bit. I did feel that the graphics were good, but there were certain numbers of holes in the storyline that were difficult to fill in as to exactly what was going on. So other than leaving it a little bit in a quandary in your mind on some things that aren't well explained, the sensationalism and the fear, that coldrophobic fear of clowns, was very enticing.
Nice. There you go. So, all right. I want to talk about what's happening at the drive-ins a little bit. So sometimes they are lumped together based on genre or studio. So we'll just have to see. When was the last time you were at a drive-in there, Sammy?
Well, the very last drive-in I was at was the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville.
Oh, you were working that. You were just gone to one for leisure?
Working that? I have no idea what you meant. I was just enjoying my time with Joey down there as we showed the Super Movie Monster Fest.
Well, if it's business and pleasure, go for it. So.
Absolutely.
Okay. Over at the Tibbs Drive-In, we have on screen one, Blade Runner 2049 and Friend Request. Two R-rated films. There you go. And by the way, I think I'm going to sound like David Spade. I think I liked Friend Request the first time when it was known as Unfriended.
So, that's exactly right.
Online terror film. Screen two. Oh, yeah, the remake of Flatliners with American Assassin. Okay, two R-rated films. Screen three, Till Death Do Us Part and It.
They're playing It second.
Yes. Yeah, so Till Death Do Us Part, that's the one with Stephen Bishop and Taye Diggs. That's 8:15, It at 10. And then the replaying Till Death Do Us Part at 12:20. So, okay. And then screen four, Home Again and Kingsman the Golden Circle. So Reese Witherspoon rom-com sort of. not directed by Nancy Meyers, but I believe produced by Nancy Meyers, and the over-the-top Kingsman action film. So one for her, one for him.
Pretty much.
Yeah, okay. Speaking of the Skyline, over at the Skyline, this is more up your alley, sir. This depends, of course, depends on when you're listening to the show. It and Pet Sematary.
Excellent.
It is
the Stephen King combo.
Very good. Yeah, I would say, did you The Dark Tower, were you able to check that one out?
I did not.
Okay. I know it's probably more sci-fi fantasy than horror from the King books.
Horror tends to be my flavor of choice.
Of course. It's the pumpkin spice of but year-round. But also, kudos to the Skyline. I have to give them props always that they play older titles whenever possible. And, of course, in a case like this, this fits perfectly. Quite often on Friday nights, they'll at like 1 or 2 a.m., they'll get a print of something, some obscure film I don't even know about, and they'll play that one. Or something that they would harass the Carter family at a memorial to say that I have a print of this, you should host it. Sammy knows. Welcome to Inside Joke Theater Radio here at Film Sociology. Okay, moving over to the IU Cinema. This, of course, depends on when you're listening to this show. If you're listening on Saturday, appreciate it. You still have time to run down the Bloomington at 3 o'clock for the Miyazaki 1989 Kiki's Delivery Service. At 7 o'clock, City of Ghosts, the documentary from 2017. That's also playing on Sunday the 8th at 6:30 p.m. At 3 o'clock, The President's Choice, the 1927 documentary Berlin Symphony of a Great City. We also have on Monday the 9th, as a part of their Monday matinees classics from 1951 at 3 p.m., An American in Paris. The Gene Kelly musical that is not Singing in the Rain. Everybody knows Singing in the Rain. You should really know An American in Paris. At 7 o'clock, the documentary The Linguist. On Thursday the 12th, Beach Rats from 2017. Friday the 13th, is this something he'll go to? Eliza Hittman. That's a lecture at 3 o'clock. Her film, It Felt Like Love, at 6:30 p.m. And then at 9:30 p.m., also from Eliza Hittman, the 20 shorts program and documentary, Buffalo Juggaloos and Other Short Films.
Buffalo Juggaloos.
I believe that's involving fans of Insane Clown Posse.
It pretty much is.
Yeah, so that's at IU. Okay.
It's the ICP party over there. Unfortunately, though, I'm so afraid that there will be no one there. For everyone on Friday the 13th will be at the other Bloomington drive-in over at the Scarlight watching the Sammy Terry Show and three wonderful movies.
You can also bring Faygo to that drive-in.
So. You most certainly can.
And then Saturday the 14th at 3 o'clock, the Ingmar Bergman classic from 1957, Wild Strawberries, and then Beach Rats at 7 p.m. Okay, so that's happening over there. Also, at the Art Craft Theater, again, this is depends on when you're listening to this show, but actually, Friday the 13th, Saturday the 14th, at 2 and 7:30 p.m., the original Halloween. So there is that. Tuesday the 17th at 7:30 p.m. This is a free showing. Ponyo. Boy, a lot of Miyazaki going on in town. Friday and Saturday, October 20th and 21st. If you are not in Richmond, seeing informed consent at the Richmond Civic Theater.
Which you should be.
Thank you, sir. Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Oh, a great classic horror.
Did you like when Abbott and Costello would mix up with the Universal characters?
Of course. It was a great relief from some of the heavier films.
And then Tuesday, October 24th. I saw this film on video. I wish I could see it on a big screen. On Tuesday, October 24th at 7:30 p.m., this is a free screening at the Art Craft Theater in Franklin. Bride and Prejudice, a Bollywood version of Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. Kobe and Bianca, well, Bianca will go to that one. We'll just
probably
leave.
So.
Probably that. So
I'm not much on the Bollywood.
I'm sure there are Indian horror films. We'll have to keep looking. We'll work on that.
There are, and they're quite horrorable.
Nice. Okay, also, again, this depends on when you're listening to this show. If you're listening Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, whenever. Saturday at midnight, October 7th, tonight, you could go to the Keystone Art Cinema as a part of their Midnight Madness series. They have 4 weekends of shows. Tonight at midnight, as a part of its 25th anniversary, a film by David Lynch, Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. If you didn't get enough of the revamped series, you can watch the original film. So that is happening there. October 13th and 14th, the 35th anniversary of Creepshow.
Creepshow. Very cool.
Screenplay by Stephen King. Yes, that's the one with Hal Holbrook, Adrian Barbeau, Leslie Nielsen, E.G. Marshall with all the cockroaches, all that. So October 20th and 21st, I know a favorite of Sammy Terry's, The Hunger, directed by Tony Scott with David Bowie, but forget it, it's really about Catherine Deneuve and Susan Sarandon.
It really is.
And then October 27th and 28th, the original Halloween. So there you go. That's all happening there. And if that wasn't enough, marking your calendars if you are not heading to Richmond the weekend of the 20th. It is also Bard Fest, Indy's Shakespeare Festival, which is happening at at the Fringe Theater right off of Mass Ave. And this year's plays are, you have the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged. A lot of fun. The more you know about Shakespeare, the funnier the show is. But even if you're just a novice, it's energetic fun. You have Cymbeline, a Vegas 70s Vegas disco version of Taming of the Shrew, and one of Sammy's favorites, Macbeth.
Macbeth. Oh, the great fury. Everyone knows the famous pose. In fact, as you sit right there, and particularly if you're driving in your car, hold your hand up, picture that skull in your hand, and do that classic pose right now. Go ahead, we're waiting.
Actually, that's Hamlet. You're thinking, maybe if you're wiping the blood off your hands, out damn spot.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Ladies and gentlemen, you don't get to correct Sammy Terry too often, so I'm just going to keep moving. Anyway, you can go to indiebardfest.com for more information so you can check that out. But yes, Macbeth, ghosts and witches and blood and conniving ladies and, you know, just it's a date play if there ever was one.
But nobody holding skulls in their hands.
Well, you have to talk and see how Macbeth kills his adversary. So, but then again, nothing can be Titus Andronicus.
Exactly.
In fact, I think when we come back after the break, I'm going to play for you Sammy Terry's contribution to Shakespeare in a little bit. Actually, you know what? Let's take the break now. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
I'm Sven Gulli from MeTV, and you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI Indianapolis. If there's an Indian Annapolis, it means that he's like, you know, a military-type person from Native America.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Socey. Sammy Terry's hanging out with me in studio. Yeah, are you having a good time, sir?
Oh, I'm having a horrible time hanging out, which is one of my most favorite things to do. A good hanging is always worth sticking around for.
Yeah, it's good for the neck. You know, it works out there a little bit, so. But you were saying earlier, you have an event coming up. Sammy's here because this is his busy time, so. But I know you have something coming up with live organ accompaniment?
I most certainly do. Actually, on October 27th, that's Friday, October 27th, I will be at the Indiana Landmark Center. Oh, that's at about 11th and Central in Indianapolis. There, each year, they celebrate a silent Halloween festival, which means we show a silent movie with a full organ accompaniment, just like the silent films were shown century ago. So you see, you should come see Nosferatu on the big screen.
The original silent version?
The original silent version, accompanied by Mark Harriman's wonderful organ. And you'll be able to see me, of course, live, and I will also bring with me Nosferatu in the flesh.
And your flesh, maybe.
It'll be there with me. So make sure you go to IndianaLandmark.org to get your tickets. Look for their website and order your tickets early. I'll be there starting at 6:30 in the lobby with Nosferatu to pose for pictures and sell you T-shirts and other whatnots. And then I'll start performing about 7 o'clock at the Indiana Landmark Center.
All right, very good. And we'll be plugging more of Sammy's stuff in a little bit, but there's a couple of pieces of audio I want to share because Sammy's here. Now, we mentioned on the show a few weeks back that the former football star and actor Bernie Casey passed away. Quite the Renaissance man. He was also a writer and if I remember right, did fiction and did poetry and prose, if I remember correctly. But it's this time of year, besides starring in films like Hitman and Sharky's Machine and yes, he was in Revenge of the Nerds and Spies Like Us. In 1976, he appeared in a film directed by William Crane. Not kidding, they actually made this. Here's the trailer for Dr. Black, Mr. Hyde.
Bernie Casey is Dr. Black.
Hiya, Doc.
No, you can't try that. Sir, I'm not a human.
A monster he could not control had taken over his very soul. A screaming demon rages inside, turning him into Mr. Hyde.
This is no nightmare, Doctor. You're real.
Super strong, supernatural, and super bad.
That's a cross between the abominable snowman and Willie the Werewolf.
Indestructible. Nothing can stop him. Not bombs, bullets, or bulldozers. No man alive could take that guy, but he's on his feet when he hits the street. Dr. Black and Mr. Hyde. His victim thinks she's tricked him, but she hasn't a prayer when he leaps through the air. Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead.
In a moment, you'd look like me.
Dr. Black and Mr. Hyde. Don't give him no sass or he'll kick your ass. Jump out, Jack, for your skull is cracked. The bar flies are trying, but their bodies keep flying. The dude stood tall till his butt hit the wall. When the boys go rushing, Mr. Hyde starts crushing. The crowd is hushing as the blood comes gushing. There's a heel behind the wheel when Hyde takes his ride. No man can survive when he shifts into drive. It ain't no jive trying to stay alive. Silky won't revive from his final nosedive.
Brother man, this situation is rapidly becoming insalubrious, meaning we're about to stomp a mud hole in your ass.
From the first burst to the last blast, it's Dr. Black and Mr. Hyde, starring Bernie Casey, Rosalind Cash, Stu Gillum, directed by William Blackula Crane. Dr. Black and Mr. Hyde.
I don't think that ever played on Channel 4.
That was the best trailer I have ever heard you play, Matthew Soucy.
Of course, this, yeah, as you heard in the trailers from the director of the original Blackula, Felix Cheering, the late, great William Marshall, yes, there was Blackula, Scream, Blackula, Scream, Dr. Black, Mr. Hyde, Abby, which was kind of the Black Exorcist, Blackenstein, I'm not making these up, and J.D.'s Revenge, Sugar Hill. I should have Abdul Kevin Shabazz on the show this month to discuss those films as well. But yeah, I somehow wondered if any of those films ever made it onto the show back in the day. I think I kind of doubt it.
I did host Blackula 3 times.
Did you?
During the 1970s and early 80s. Yes,
Blackula. Right. I stand corrected. Good. It's a trip. I will say I have defended Blackula to this day because William Marshall's performance is so good. William Marshall was a classically trained stage actor, and what sounds like on paper it's a black vampire film, basically. But because it's William Marshall, he treats it like it's King Lear, and he brings quite a bit of gravitas to it. So anyway, Bernie, thanks for doing that. I got to play that. I could never play the video on air. I'm just there. So the other piece of audio, and sometimes the show I do on Saturday nights kind of bleeds into this a little bit. And there was a collection put out earlier this year called Who Was Mac Rebinac? And this is session music featuring Dr. John before he became Dr. John. And this is a song that was used for the local horror show host down in New Orleans, who went by Margus the Magnificent. I'm still working on when this was actually recorded, but Margus hosted New Orleans television from the 50s through the late 80s. So I played this on the show last week. Let's hear a little bit. So here's a little bit of, and I'm trying to remember who exactly it's. Oh, yes. Margus and the Ghouls, featuring a session player later known as Dr. John. Here's Margus the Magnificent.
On Saturday night, when I go for my date, my baby and I just sit and wait for
Margus the Magnificent.
We don't go out to roll and rock. We get our kicks from the house and shop. Shaggy hair and a graveyard stare. Vampire blood spill everywhere. That's
Margus Magnificent.
We don't go out to roll and rock. We get our kicks from the house and shop. If you want a thrill, turn the lights down low. Get set for the cool.
Margus the Magnificent.
So yeah, that's music from Margus the Magnificent, who hosted was your kind of New Orleans brother, been down south back in the 50s through the 1980s.
Absolutely. Oh, he was great with all of the black magic that happens down there. The voodoo dolls are still used down in his parlors.
Exactly. We need to get a garage band to do a Sammy Terry thing. We have to work on that. So anybody who's any garage band in the central Indiana or southern Indiana, oh, hell, northern Indiana, submit all demos to SammyTerry.com and who knows? You'll see. Sammy, I wonder, because the local horror show host, you, of course, are ours. It's a lost art. There's still a handful of folks out there. In your times on this realm, do you get to see some of the other representatives around the country?
I do. In fact, at many of the horror conventions, particularly Horror Hound, which is based out of Cincinnati, who's had an Indianapolis presence now for over a decade. Oh, they have a variety of horror hosts that they get together. Unfortunately, the era of the television horror hosts, such as Sammy Terry, is very much over. There's very little left. Of course, my good kinfolk up in Chicago. Svengoolie. He is still able to stay online, but the TV is not as friendly as once upon a time.
Yeah, we need to fix that, folks. So, you know, hint, hint there.
I would certainly recommend that everyone in Central Indiana urge your local television stations to reach out at Sammy@SammyTerry.com. Let's see if we can get him on the TV regularly.
Exactly. Now, you have something coming up. What does Sammy Terry have going on Halloween night?
On Halloween night, well, this year, being that so many of the Sammy Terry fans, much like the Matt Soucy fans, with the podcasts can be heard all over the globe, not just what's within antenna's power, I am broadcasting my 55th Halloween special over Facebook Live.
Wow. You're jumping into the 21st century there, sir.
I am. Make sure that you like the Sammy Terry fan page on Facebook. You'll see me throughout the month at all of my live appearances producing live broadcasts. But on Halloween night, I will be showing you Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Not Dr. Black and Mr. Hyde.
Not Dr. Black, although it might be a little bit more stimulating than the original silent.
This is the Lon Chaney one?
This is the original silent film. And of course, I'll be on split screen so I can interact with all of my Facebook fans in live time. You'll see me there. You can put your comments in. I'll want to know from all over the world where you are watching me and catch you up on all things Sammy Terry. George will be there as well.
How's George doing?
Oh, George is hanging around like he usually does, looking for all of the little insects that creep along the crypt walls.
Well, those who post a lot of stuff online, they're into that sort of thing.
So. They certainly are. So make sure Halloween night at 8 p.m. you've liked the Sammy Terry fan page on Facebook, and you'll be able to watch the 55th Sammy Terry Halloween show from wherever you are in the world.
What time is that happening again?
At 8 p.m. Eastern Standard.
So let's see. It's 2017, which means 8 o'clock, which means trick-or-treating would have been over for about 90 minutes. So you'll have plenty of time to hand out the kids to the treats to the kids, and then you can chop in. Hop in online. Boy, you fluster me, sir.
Well, that's good. I like a good flustered soul.
And did I see you have new merchandise?
I do. There's a brand new Sammy Terry statue that has been sculpted by my great fiend, John Rogers, from Brazil area, Indiana.
Ooh, okay.
There will also be a plate coming out that you can put on a plate display or on your wall to remind you of the horrors of your past. I've got new T-shirts and all kinds of horrible things.
It's funny you mentioned Brazil, Indiana. Last week, I officiated a wedding south of Brazil, Indiana. There is, I don't know if you know this, but in Clay County, there is a castle. Clayshire Castle.
It sure is. It's a full castle. Yep. You can rent rooms there, bed and breakfast style.
Exactly. There's five rooms. I conducted a wedding there last week. And it's technically Bowling Green, Indiana. Yes, there is such a thing, just like there is a Brazil, Indiana. So it's about 15 miles east of Terre Haute. But anyway, yeah, so that's out there. So that'd be a good location scouting for you, sir.
It most certainly would be.
Okay, we're going to move into DVD, the video store DVD and Blu-ray collections in a little bit, and we'll talk more with Sammy. Busy time for this as far as the month of October. I mean, certain genre films are getting re-released or put out on Blu-ray for the first time. Probably the big title opening this week is Pirates of the Caribbean, the new Pirates of the Caribbean, help pay for Johnny Depp's island. And Javier Bardem's on it, so we like him, but anyway, that's out there. Goon, Last of the Enforcers. Now, this is a sequel to a, if I remember right, 2011 film called Goon, starring Sean William Scott as a nice guy, a bouncer, who winds up being hired by a minor league hockey team to be their enforcer, their goon. And it was a lovely story that captures minor league hockey, not quite like Slapshot, but the film really loves Slapshot, and that is eminent. Well, this is a sequel to it, and Jay Bushnell, who had a role in the original film, he is back, but he's also directing the film, and he mentions the fact that he considers the first Goon an origin story, and it made a lot of references to Terminator 2 and superhero movies with this one, with Ghost, Last of the Enforcers. The problem is it tackles a lot of the sports film cliches that the first Goon didn't quite. I mean, it was, yes, obnoxious minor league hockey, but the dynamic of a nice guy who's an absolute monster on the field or on the ice really hadn't been showcased. In this one, we have what happens when an athlete retires, settling down, getting a day job, dealing with a family. There's a new foil. Liev Schreiber's in it, but we have to have a new foil, like the Robert Patrick, I guess, of this film. And it just goes down kind of sports cliche familiar territory. So it's a bit of meh. I don't think its sequel was really needed because I liked the first Goon film that much. Speaking of scary films, Sammy, a scary film of a different kind, The Wizard of Lies, an HBO film with Robert De Niro as Ponzi scheme champion Bernie Madoff.
Oh, that's right. He certainly did Madoff with a lot of people's money.
Ah, look what you did there, huh? Now, the other film that came out this week that actually I told Sammy Terry to watch, and ladies and gentlemen, when you recommend films sometimes, They're not all home runs in some cases, but it's a film called A Ghost Story. And as I said to Sammy and I wrote online earlier this week, you have to pay attention to the title. This stars Casey Affleck and Rooney Mara, and it is a story of, well, as we find out at the beginning, it's not really giving away anything, that Casey Affleck's character dies, takes in the form of a ghost. Yes, white sheet, black dots, that's it. But it's more about the job of a ghost, as opposed to when we say it is a ghost story, but it's what happens when you are stuck with your job. And I believe, Sammy, you were expecting a little more scary stuff than wound up happening.
Of course, Sammy Terry is always very excited to see a new horror movie. So when the great Matthew Soucy contacted me and George, saying you must watch this film so we can talk about it, and I heard that it was a ghost story, George and I settled back into the dungeon. We turned the old lanterns down. We got excited for a very fun, gory, horrible film. And this film
bored you to death.
Was so horrible. By the end, I had to try to talk George back on the ladder. And I simply wanted to make sure that I took myself north, walked to the edge of the cliff, and threw myself off at Manchester by the Sea.
All right, yeah, I deserve that. All right, but to be fair, if you're not a fan of Casey Affleck, there's less of him in this one.
Well, that is true, and for me, that was a great thing.
So, yeah. But it does tackle the issues of like I said, the function of a ghost in a particular space. There is a little bit of time travel. Well, there's a little bit of time jumping, which I'm still not 100% on. I wound up actually enjoying the ride for the most part. And I'm the guy, I'm going to listen to the director's commentary, so hopefully they will explain some aspects of it. But it's an interesting twist if you want to take a chance. I'll just leave it at that.
It's a twist, much like those Indian rubs your older brother used to give you when you were young.
All right, fair enough there. Okay, also out on DVD this week, Cult of Chucky. So Brad Dourif's working again, is that right?
Oh, that good old little boy. Such a fluffy little child.
It's like, not Brad Dourif, he's darn near 70, I think.
Oh, that little Chucky, everyone should have one.
And speaking of which, because of this, of course, you can now get on Blu-ray the 7-film collection of Chucky. So from Child's Play all the way through, yes, I think Jennifer Tilly shows up in doll form and this one, so Have at it, folks. There's plenty. If you need killer dolls, that's there for you.
Dolls Among Us.
There you go. And also now the source that I go to for this information, they talk about releases new and old. And sometimes there are films that are just kind of repackaged and re-released because I look at certain titles and I thought this was on Blu-ray already. For instance, the original 1968 Night of the Living Dead. Now, speaking of horror stories, the rights to that film have its own terrifying history going back to the home video market back in the 70s.
Oh, they do. The fact that it rests in public domain is a shame, but not a shame for so many people credit Night of the Living Dead for resurrecting and bringing forth our current zombie amazing revolution that has happened.
Do you watch The Walking Dead when you're leisurely at home?
I most certainly do, even though there's a lot of Walking Dead around me all the time.
Yeah, there you go. It's a documentary, not a series. Also out on Blu-ray, the original, before it became a TV series, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. If you're a fan of Christy Swanson, there you go. 976 Evil, one of those post-slasher films, I believe the early 80s. Criterion has the 1932 foreign film Vampire. That's V-A-M-P-Y-R. Spelling bee there, Sammy. This is a story of a drifter who meets a young girl who is slowly turning into a vampire. It's on Criterion, therefore it's arty and it's influential. From 1991, this was a film, I remember it coming, it came out, and a little before its time, about 5 or 6 years later, a film called Scream would kind of take all the glory, but a film called Popcorn with Dee Wallace Stone, everyone's favorite suburban moms from the films of the 80s, but it's the story of a bunch of film students that is having an all-night film festival, and they start getting bumped off one by one, discussing the rules of the horror genre. Wes Craven owes, I think, a little bit to the film Popcorn.
That was excellent. Popcorn is one of those films that if you're looking for something that you've probably not seen before, definitely get a hold of Popcorn. It will certainly give you a good appreciation for where so many of our haunted house movies have come from.
Exactly. Now, if I remember, I also, coming out on, I think it's on Blu-ray for the first time, the original Children of the Corn.
Yes, that is. I just saw that a couple of days ago on my Facebook Live or my Facebook post. Someone posted the fact that Children of the Corn was making a resurrection.
That's, of course, Linda Hamilton. And this was the period where every other thing was based on a Stephen King novel. I believe his grocery list got optioned at that time. But yeah, and then last month, the original director of the original Children of the Corn, that's I think it's Fritz Kirsch, made an appearance at the Princess Theater Roadshow in Rushville a few weeks back. So that was happening there. Also on Blu-ray, again, I thought they already put this out, but I'm sure they kind of repackaged it. The musical of Little Shop of Horrors with the original ending. Now, if those you know, of course, it's Rick Moranis and Ellen Green and Steve Martin and Bill Murray and the whole gang. And if you know the original Little Shop of Horrors, the Roger Corman film that was kind of shot on a dare.
Yes, it was, in a very short period of time due to the writer's strike.
4 days, I believe?
4 days.
Yes, Roger Corman could do that.
That's right. L.A. was going through a horrible writer's strike. And in order to get it done before the deadline of the strike, they had to do all of their shooting in 4 very short days.
You see a young Jack Nicholson in that one, but that's not this one. The musical from the 80s, but the original ending of the musical Little Shop of Horrors didn't test well with audiences, so they had to recreate a new ending. So I guess this version has both endings on it, if you're into that.
Interesting.
And then finally, it's not for October, but it should be on Blu-ray anyway. Original Gangstas, Jim Brown, Fred Williamson, Richard Roundtree, Pam Grier. I got to interview Fred Williamson on the set of this film back in 1995, and it's now out on Blu-ray. So plenty there. Now, before we get to Sammy, speaking of dead people we like, because we don't have time for dead people we don't like, Czechoslovakian actor John Tryska passed away on September 23rd at the age of 80. a lot of films from his native homeland, obviously. But if for folks here in the States, and as one of those, you kind of looking through it, and he was kind of a Euro that guy. Played a reporter in Ragtime, played Carl Reddick in Warren Beatty's Reds, was in The Amateur, appeared in The Osterman Weekend, Uncommon Valor, Unfaithfully Yours, the Dudley Moore film from 84, appeared as one of the Russians, I believe, in 2010, the sequel to 2001, appeared in Loose Cannons, The Karate Kid Part 3, Black Eagle, Undercover Blues, but probably known for most folks was the assassin in The People versus Larry Flint. So the guy who shoots Larry Flint in the Milos Forman film also appeared in Apt Pupil, also based on a Stephen King writing, and played the dapper gent in John Frankenheimer's Ronin.
I think he would have, missed his calling, because he certainly could have had a very good career on the 7 films that came from Child's Play. He could have just named them Checky.
Oh. Ooh. You've been waiting, you've been saving that one for a while, right?
The whole time you were talking.
I think it's true that Sammy Terry, like a lot of comics, has files and files of little index cards just for little quips just like that. So, all right. So we still got about 10 minutes left hanging out here with Sammy Terry. Once again, tell folks, what are you doing for the month of October?
Well, sure. I had mentioned that on the Friday the 13th, I'll be down in Bloomington, Indiana at the Starlight Drive-In, a triple play and Sammy on stage. Make sure you come to Bloomington on Friday the 13th. On the 20th of October, I'll be in Kokomo at the Haunted House, there on King Street. On the 21st, I will be celebrating with a large realtor party for Davis Homes from Indianapolis area. Then, of course, on October 27th, I will be at the Indiana Landmark Center, along with Mark Herman, playing the large organ there, accompanying the silent movie Nosferatu. Check with IndianaLandmarks.org for tickets. And then on Saturday, October 28th, I will be at the Key Haunted Escape Rooms at the Post Road Recreation Center in Indianapolis. There I'll be doing my Facebook Live broadcasts in each one of the escape rooms so you can learn how you can scream to get out. And then, of course, as I mentioned, Halloween night, 8 p.m., the 55th Sammy Terry Halloween special. It will be on Facebook Live, so make sure right now you grab your phone or computer, go to the Sammy Terry fan page on Facebook, click the like button so you can see me as I broadcast live throughout the month. And, of course, my Halloween show. George will be there, Nosferatu will be there, and, of course, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So join me Halloween night for my Halloween special on Facebook Live.
Now, I was, as you were going through this, I should clarify. It's not Mark Harmon on the organ. That's a different program for a different thing. And, oh, you're doing a realtor party?
Oh, that's right. Davis Homes is sponsoring a monthly realtor extravaganza. It's down in the Greenwood area. If you'd like an invite, you'll have to petition Davis Homes. That's davishomes.com. They'd love to hear from strangers and sell you a custom-made house on your lot.
I think some fixer-uppers are absolutely terrifying.
I like the fixer-uppers that are more like blower-uppers.
And if anybody knows Joanna Gaines, tell her about my show. Actually, it's funny you mentioned it. One of the most horrifying things I've ever had to go through, Sammy Terry, I made the mistake as we were signing for our house, I asked the question. I have learned there are no short answers when you're doing the signing day. So don't do that, folks.
I would imagine it's been centuries since I bought my castle.
Yeah, I think you got the lease paid off on that one. Probably taken care of.
Pretty much.
See, I always imagine people visiting your house. It's like one of those episodes of The Munsters where people just don't know what they're getting themselves into.
They walk through my door, much like the late Cowboy Bob did with his dog. He walked in and said, "What in the hell is this?"
Do Jehovah's Witnesses come over to the house at all?
They sure do, and they taste wonderful.
I would ask to be the setup guy for his show, but I demand too much money. That's all right. So anyway, so for more information, where can people go on your website?
SammyTerry.com. That's SammyTerry.com. You'll learn all the information, and you'll see my store there. So you can buy your out-of-town family members a horrible treat for their Halloween celebration.
And we still got a few minutes left. I got him in studio. I guess I'm going to leave enough space for this. Sammy Terry, would you please do a pledge spot for WFYI?
Make sure you get your checkbook out, for Sammy Terry is watching you. WFYI, they give us television, they give us radio, they give us everything that we need for public broadcasting. So make sure you make your pledge today. Public broadcasting is very important to our culture in Indiana, and WFYI is responsible for bringing that to you. So open your checkbooks and use your charge card. Support those who support you. WFYI, TV and radio for smart people.
And at the very least, you'll keep me off the street.
Very good, and we don't want to see him on the street.
Okay, once again, just a reminder, I guess this is the recap. This is almost like the show that used to be on PBS. We're not doing thumbs because we don't want to give people money. So I enjoyed Blade Runner 2049. Sammy Terry wanted a little more adrenaline. I think the same was for A Ghost Story, which is now on DVD and Blu-ray. Wizard of Lies, truly terrifying. Ponzi scheme.
Way too real.
Way too real. And, of course, all of Sammy's events that are coming up. You have Twin Peaks tonight at midnight at Keystone Arts. Next weekend is Creepshow. The weekend after, The Hunger. If you must have a vampire movie, Catherine Deneuve, Susan Sarandon, pretty good. And then the original Halloween, which is playing here. It's playing down south. It's playing in Franklin. Don't know if it's the same print. Don't know if it's the same guy walking with print to print. We'll just have to check on that. So
see them all, but especially come down to Bloomington Starlight Drive-In Friday the 13th.
Exactly. And go to SammyTerry.com. And, of course, you can go to GoRCT.org for information on informed consent, which is a show I'm directing October 20th and the 21st at Richmond Civic Theater, a drama that has the conflict of science versus religion. A scientist is taking blood tests to study the health patterns of a Native American tribe. The elders, of course, feel if you take their blood, you take their soul. So, not different blood story of a different type there, Sammy. But anyway, that is running the 20th and 21st in Richmond, if you're over on that side of town, side of the state. And, of course, SammyTerry.com for all the merchandise and information. Sammy, always terrible to have you here.
It is terrible to be staring across at your mug so many times throughout the year.
That's this mug right here, made of ceramic. It's haterade.
Sure, whatever you say.
And yes, Kobe and Bianca, we're thinking about you too. All right, ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, some words for you to die by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Next week's Film Sociology, I should have some of the cast and crew of Bard Fest's production of Macbeth in town. So, Sammy, I will send your regards to the witches and the ghost. And, of course, Sammy will be back on the show in about 2 to 3 weeks. So we'll just have to iron that out. And, of course, Pledge Drive starts on the 20th. So thanks again, Sammy, for floating in.
Well, thank you for having me, Matthew. And, of course, to all of your fans and listeners out there, as you creep through these cold, wet days of October, remember, Sammy's watching you, and I'm wishing you all many pleasant nightmares.
I have to follow that. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!